When I was a kid, I was obsessed with the Guinness Book of World Records. But now I realize it's kind of a scam, which is really sad. Another thing they took from my childhood. Welcome to the Council of Trent. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today I want to talk about the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you remember that? I mean, when you were in middle school like myself, you don't have access to high-speed internet. You know, what do you read for fun? When you go into the library, what do you get? You got Oregon Trail. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? You've got old encyclopedias to look at, different reference books, the eyewitness books for kids. And you had the Guinness Book of World Records. As a kid, you're like, I could get in this book. You start flipping through it and you see that there's records that, you know, you're an 11-year-old kid reading the book, like you think, yeah, I could break that. 4-minute mile? How hard could that be? I'm super fast. You start running, you're like, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. So 4-minute mile, it's like, I got to run this lap in 1 minute, because they're usually a quarter mile lap on elementary schools. So then you think, okay, maybe I'm not fast enough or strong enough, like can't lift like 2,000 pounds or something like that. But, you know, I could drink the most Cokes in the record or assemble the biggest Coke bottle sculpture, whatever it might be. There's all different kinds you start going through. Although, so that's part of it is like the kid's desire. You want to be famous. You want to be a world record breaker. You want to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. But also as a kid, it's really fun to read through. I still remember, you know, the world's tallest man, Robert Wadlow. It's cool as a kid learning about the world, like, oh, the tallest, the shortest, the biggest, the fattest, the strongest, the fastest, all of these different things that are out there, the highest building, the longest something has gone on for, oldest this, oldest that. That was another thing I really enjoyed as a kid with the Guinness Book of World Records. But getting in it is something that's fascinating a lot of people, but now it really stinks. So first, before I say why it's bad, I just tell you where it came from. So here's the story behind Guinness World Records. And yes, it does deal with Guinness, the brewer over in Ireland. So on November 1951, Sir Hugh Beavery, the managing director of the Guinness Breweries, went on a shooting party in the North Slob by the River Slaney in County Wexford, Ireland. After missing a shot at a golden plover, he became involved in an argument over which was the fastest game bird in Europe, the golden plover or the red grouse. The plover is faster, but neither is the fastest game bird in Europe. That evening at Castlebridge House, he realized it was impossible to confirm in reference books whether or not the golden plover was Europe's fastest game bird. Beaver knew that there must have been numerous other questions debated nightly among the public, but there was no book in the world with which to settle arguments about records. He realized that a book supplying the answers to this sort of question might prove successful. Beaver's idea became reality when Guinness employee Christopher Chataway recommended university friends Norris and Ross McWhirter, who had been running a fact-finding agency in London. The twin brothers were commissioned to compile what became the Guinness Book of Superlatives, which later is now called the Guinness Book of Records, in August 1954. So that's where it started. There was a 198-page edition in 1955. That was later sold to an American publisher. Since then, Guinness World Records has sold more than 150 million copies in 100 languages and in 100 countries and 40 languages. So the book itself, it's changed over time. And really, what is really sad is that Guinness, it's now the Guinness World Records company, the company that publishes the book and is involved in it. It is about making money through sponsorships of events. It is not about just compiling records. So think about it. If you get a Guinness, if I have a Guinness Records book from like 1998, a lot of the classic records are still unbroken. It's not like you need a new one. And you don't really need a reference book now, because if you wonder who is the fastest at such and such, you don't need to go to your Guinness World Records book. You just go to the internet. You go to the Guinness website. People are fine just going to Wikipedia or going to a lot of other places to establish records. So how do they make money? Well, there's an article on Vox by Phil Edwards that talks about this. And it says, Guinness World Records is no longer just a book company. It's a branded experience. All right. So, oh, by the way, the previous article, I like what it said here. Recent editions have focused on record feats by individuals. Competitions range from obvious ones, such as Olympic weightlifting, to the longest egg tossing distances, or for longest time spent playing Grand Theft Auto 4, or largest number of hot dogs consumed in 3 minutes, or the longest running soap opera. So many records relate to the youngest people who have achieved something. Maurizio Giuliano is the youngest person to visit all the nations of the world. So the thing is, if you want to get in the Guinness Book of World Records, all you have to do is come up with a really, really, really specific record that no one else has thought of before, just be the first person to do it. And so that's what this article talks about. What do you do when all the good world records have been set? Hire Guinness to help you invent some new ones. On January 28, 2015, workers at United Biscuits stacked a bunch of books in a line to achieve a new world record. Most books toppled in a domino fashion. They ended up toppling 5,318 books. For the sticklers out there, 182 of the initial 5,500 were disqualified, but there was still enough to break the record. It was impressive, but it's also a metaphor for Guinness's changing business model. As the books fall, something else has to take their place. So what happens is that Guinness will go out and companies will hire them saying, we're gonna do something to promote our new product. And so we need you to come out, and you hire Guinness to come out there and to certify it. And you end up paying them like $20,000 to be involved in all of this. So it's really prohibitive where there are just regular people who want to get involved in this and get in the Guinness Book of World Records, but they don't have the money for it, which it shouldn't be that way. It should just be that you are the best at it. You broke the record, and the world should acknowledge that. But money is what makes the world go round. And there are people who have even, there was a video I watched of a guy, he did the most pull-ups in a day or several hours, something like that. And Guinness disqualified him because he was doing it for charity. And they later gave him the record back. He just had to file a different form. He filed an incorrect form when he was applying for the record. But it's just become so bureaucratic, and it's so nuanced. Like, the records become almost meaningless. Like, here's a clip I want to share with you. They were interviewing a guy some decades ago from Guinness talking about what kinds of records they would certify.
Say I was to run 101 yards and say, this is the world's fastest 101 yard time. Yeah. Would you let it in?
Certainly not, no, because it'd be too ingenious. Yeah, that would just be fudging it. No, records have got to have some sort of significance, and they've got to be internationally competitive. There are some things which are so crazy that nobody else ever does them.
Right, so it needs to be something. It can't just be the most niche record possible so that you can do it. Like, the fastest person, like the guy says, is, you know, like the fastest person to run 1.1 miles. Like, if you couldn't do the fastest mile, you could do fastest 1.1 miles, or, you know, like 50, you know, most books toppled over, or this eventually becomes a point, you know, most, what is going to be next? What, most boxes of biscuits toppled over. Oh, good. Well, that same biscuit company applied and spent 20 grand. They got that record too. You know, so it just becomes silly at that point. Though there have been records that have been discontinued because they're dangerous or Guinness isn't interested in them. The largest ever mass balloon release, they don't do that anymore. It was Cleveland in 1986. Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio, Balloon Fest 86 ended up being a huge environmental disaster. The balloons clogged the waterways so much, some fishermen went missing. The fishermen already were missing, but like Coast Guard couldn't go out and find them because of the balloons. I think they died. Like, that stinks. Fastest journey around the world by car is discontinued. Mostly it's because they're dangerous. Hunger strikes, fasting, untimed gluttony. So just trying to eat as much as possible. They're willing to do like most hot dogs in like 3 minutes or something, but not just like eating as much as you can, no matter what. Largest penny pyramid. They don't want penny shortages. Largest pie fights discontinued because it's wasteful. Longest time spent buried alive, longest kiss, and longest time not sleeping are discontinued because of concerns about sleep deprivation and health. Most beers drunk in an hour. Most greeting cards received by an individual. Originally, it was set by a cancer patient who got 33 million cards between 1989 and 1991. Video game high scores, they don't do that anymore. Fastest violin was discontinued because of the difficulty in conclusively determining whether all musical notes have been sufficiently played, even if you slowed the piece down. So I will say this, though. There's one record I am interested in doing. I've looked into it, I've researched it, and I wonder if I could pull it off. And that would be the fastest commercial trans world flight. Okay. So the rules are actually, so I think a guy did it just a few years ago when a new route opened, going to Australia or something like that. And here's the rules. you have to get around the world by commercial airfare. You can't take private jets. It has to be a commercial airplane anyone could buy a ticket for. And you just time it out and try to get around the fastest. And you have to fly between the Tropic of Capricorn and the Tropic of Cancer. So you can't just like get on a commercial airplane that flies around the Arctic Circle. So you have to fly basically near the, not near the equator, but between the Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. So you have to go around something that's somewhat close to the equator. And a lot of them, because it's the Great Circle Route, you end up crossing the equator or other things like that. Currently, the record was set by Umit Sabanchi. And it's a Guinness World Record he broke, fastest circumnavigation. And he flew, I think he started in Dallas, or maybe he started in LAX, and then he ended up back up there. So it was, he did it in 46 hours, 23 minutes, and 11 seconds. So I've thought to myself, like, how would I do that? It's just about timing it. Like, can you get your layovers short enough that you will compress your time without missing your next flight? So, like, I live here in Dallas. Like, I could go from Dallas to Sydney nonstop. That's about 17 hours. Sydney to Perth, which is like 5 hours, Perth to London, I don't know how many hours, that might be another 17, and then like London back to Dallas, for example. So trying to make that kind of circumnavigation. I've looked at it. I don't think I could break Sabanchi's record, but maybe one day you will know Trent Horn in the Guinness Book of World Records, the fastest circumnavigation. Look at him. He sat on his behind for 46 hours, 23 minutes and 9 seconds. So maybe I'll be able to do that. You never know. So thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope you have a very blessed weekend.